T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Colts owner Jim Irsay trying to accept, come to terms with Andrew Luck's abrupt retirement. And that has been the story that has dominated today's show and will continue to dominate for days to come. The Colts trying to put Humpty Dumpty back together again now with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. More on how this retirement affects the NFL and AFC landscape next hour. But right now, and I'm coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio, Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I want to get into a discussion about Andrew Luck's career. I want to talk to you and I want to hear from you on Andrew Luck's NFL career and how we should judge it, how we should view it, how we should look back on it and remember it. Because I've actually seen some analysts, like I'll name one because I don't like just kind of blanket statement and throwing stuff out there without giving attribution to the person. I follow Bryant McFadden on Twitter, former Steelers and Cardinals corner, CBS Sports HQ analyst. He asked the question this morning, is Andrew Luck a Hall of Famer? I get that Canton has watered down its standards and that it's not a shrine that is so exclusive that it's left for only Jim Brown, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, those types of players. 7 years from a quarterback should not, unless there's like 3 or 4 championships in there and a bunch of MVP awards, does not make a Hall of Fame career. And so what's happened in the brief aftermath of Andrew Luck's retirement is a rush to do 2 things. A rush to justify and respect Andrew Luck's decision. And I believe, this is just my personal opinion, I think some of that has to do with Andrew Luck's background. Great guy, smart guy, highly educated guy, legacy because of his father, exceptional with the media. And so Andrew Luck is one of these people who we root for, and in the media we worked with and respected. So he's going to get the benefit of the doubt when something controversial occurs. And retiring 2 weeks before the start of the season with an injury that at no point was dubbed or termed career-threatening is absolutely controversial. So the first thing we hear is everybody's got to calm down and respect Andrew Luck's decision to walk away. And anyone that is critical of it or scrutinizes it should check themselves. That's one. The other is, I think, a rush to glorify Andrew Luck's accomplishments in the NFL. Now, I come to you, I'm talking to you today as somebody who has immense appreciation for Andrew Luck's talents and skills as a quarterback, to the point where a couple of weeks ago on this very network, I predicted the Colts to win the Super Bowl. So I've always believed in Andrew Luck's abilities on the field. Most of my predictions or most of my opinions on Andrew Luck have been part production, but also a big part potential. And I continued to predict big things from the Colts because I was waiting for Andrew Luck to finally lead a team to a championship. At 29 years old, I was ready for him, much like Peyton Manning, who won his first Super Bowl at 30. I thought this would be the year for Luck, that the individual production would match the team production, that the talent around him was balanced enough and deep enough where they could win a lot of games and go on a playoff run and possibly knock off the Patriots along the way. So that was my view looking at Andrew Luck going into the 2019 season. All of that being said, if you're being objective about it, I don't know how you could look at Andrew Luck's 7 years in the NFL and not come to the conclusion that he underachieved. That he's an underachiever. And I say that knowing that the football cognoscenti, the football experts out there, will fight back and say, well, the Colts did not do a good job of surrounding him with an offensive line with the proper pass production. He was hit. He was pressured more than any quarterback in the league during his first 5 seasons. And the injuries that were accumulated during that period are probably what drove him at such a young age to retire. They were awful at drafting. They had an incompetent GM in Indianapolis who traded a first-round pick for Trent Richardson. I get all that. When Andrew Luck came out of Stanford, I was convinced, and this is not a unique opinion because some of the best scouts and people who work in football have echoed this sentiment. My amateur scouting opinion was, this is the best college quarterback I've seen. I was too young to really, like, maybe grasp Peyton Manning in college. Dan Marino's before my time. This is the best college quarterback I've ever seen. I expected when Andrew Luck was picked by the Colts that the baton was going to get passed from Manning to Andrew Luck. And the Colts, just like their logo, had a lucky horseshoe, and that this team was going to seamlessly transition to another Hall of Fame quarterback, another generational transcendent quarterback who was not just going to deliver Pro Bowls and All-Pro awards and the occasional AFC South banner. My expectation for Andrew Luck was that he was going to win Super Bowls with the Colts. Not just one, that he was going to be the defining quarterback of his generation, that once Tom Brady finally decided to hit the road and get out of football, that the AFC was going to be Andrew Luck's domain, that he was going to be the big sheriff in town, that he was going to be the head honcho, that it was going to be the Colts, and that was the team with the bullseye on their back every year until Andrew Luck just, you know, decided to go get into architecture or run a company like his old man did, you know, 10 years from now when he was closer to 40. And so those are my expectations for Luck, and I don't think that I was putting some kind of unattainable, impossible label on him or expectation of him. The Colts and Andrew Luck 7 years won 4 playoff games. If I had said on draft day, this is Andrew Luck's career, 4 playoff wins with the Colts, Jim Irsay, if he was sober, would have said, you're drunk. There's no way. That's all we're going to get out of this pick. He is the next Favre. He is the next Brady. He is the next Manning. He is the next Elway. He is the next Montana. You have your first overall picks at quarterback. like Baker Mayfield, like Jameis Winston, quarterbacks that are expected to do well, and then there are quarterbacks who are expected to be great. And that's how I have looked at Andrew Luck, in a torn labrum and screwed up kidney, and I didn't think a calf injury was going to walk me off that point. So looking back now on Andrew Luck's career, it's not one of these stories like he's not a complete never was. He's not a bust like Tim Couch because he got drafted by the Browns, or David Carr because they didn't have an offensive line. Andrew Luck is not a bust in that classic definition or sense where Jamarcus Russell, where a quarterback came in who was supposed to turn around a franchise and was awful. It was gruesome. It was just like vomit-inducing bad. Andrew Luck did not live up to the hype. It is like if I honestly believe this, that so many people are sympathizing with Andrew Luck and are defending him today, that if I simply asked, Who was a better quarterback, Eli Manning or Andrew Luck? Way too many people would bark back and say Luck. Part of the job is availability. Eli Manning always plays. And the guy has delivered and beaten a dynastic team in the Super Bowl twice. And that counts for more. And your eyes might have said to you, Dan Marino was better than Joe Montana, but Marino wasn't as accomplished because quarterbacks and coaches are measured more by team success. You know, maybe a running back with 7 great years like Andrew Luck is a first ballot Hall of Famer. The numbers, Luck has led the league in touchdown passes, in yards before. He was 2nd in touchdowns to Mahomes last year. If it's 7 really good years without a lot of playoff success, and it comes from the running back position, that gets Barry Sanders in the Hall of Fame. It got Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame. It got Gale Sayers in the Hall of Fame. But it doesn't make Andrew Luck a Hall of Famer. And in the end, at the end of this, if this is the last we've seen from Andrew Luck, then he did not deliver on the promise. Because the expectation was, this player is going to eventually be the face of professional football and will be the best player in the league, and that never happened. And I thought we'd see it this year, and I thought we'd see more of it over the next 5 or 6 years, and now that dream is over, it's died, it's done. So I want to know how you view Andrew Luck's career. I want to know what you think of him right now. Do you look at him as an underachiever? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. The obituary on Andrew Luck's NFL career is what? What kind of quarterback should we remember him as? All-time great? All-time what? All-time what could have been, probably for me. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Want to get your thoughts on that. It's the biggest story in sports at 855-212-4227. Later in the show, I'll give you my college football playoff predictions, the 4 teams who I think will be in the playoff at the end of the year. Am I cheating? Was I supposed to do this last week before week 0? Sorry. Maybe I'm cheating by, you know, getting the Arizona-Hawaii score and basing predictions off of that. I don't know. We'll do that later. But I do want your thoughts on Andrew Luck. I think this is an opinion. This is a topic where football fans have a big opinion. There's not a lot of ambivalence or middle ground. And I want your thoughts next at 855-212-4227. My name's Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Pony Express. Here's Andrew Filippone.
And we can have a little chat together If you call 855-212-4227, and it's brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. In 20 minutes, I'll tell you why they should rebrand college football, and instead of calling it the Power Five, they should call it the Power Four. And instead of the Group of Five, they should be the Group of Six. But right now we're talking about Andrew Luck, and how do you view his career? Jim Irsay said late last night, the Colts owner, "I didn't expect that Andrew Luck was going to give me 15 years or 20 years." What Irsay didn't say, though, was that he probably wanted more, a lot more, than just 7 years. And the Colts were perceived to be one of the luckiest teams in NFL history, because how often does an NFL team go from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another? Montana to Steve Young, Favre to Aaron Rodgers. And the thinking was that the Colts were going to be next. It's kind of like, to make an NBA parallel, you know, the 1 year David Robinson gets injured and the Spurs are a losing franchise, a sorry sack, hopeless team. Tim Duncan's in the draft. And they win the lottery and they get the first pick. Five championships later, they're one of the model franchises in the NBA. And the 1 year Peyton Manning, his neck injury comes to a head and he can't get relief and he can't get back on the field. It's the same year Andrew Luck is coming out of college and he's only available because he made a shocking decision to go back to school for one more year. He would have been the first overall pick, but he decided he wanted one more crack at it. Valued his college experience. Different guy, not your typical football player. Andrew Luck said yesterday or last night at his press conference that he loved football, but not the same way that other players do, where the sport and the game and the money means everything to them. Luck sounded like a guy who was genuinely excited to get back to another lifestyle, to be pain-free and to get on with whatever endeavors and other opportunities that he's put on the back burner or put on pause to concentrate on football. All right, let's talk to Nick. He's in Indiana. This will be a good conversation. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Nick.
How you doing, Andrew?
Hey, man.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I got to say, I'm kind of disappointed. I think, obviously, when the news broke, very disappointed, wondering what's going to happen with, obviously, where the team's going to go. A lot of faith in Jacoby Brissett, but I think some of the criticism of Luck has been ridiculous. Just because if a guy says, you know, I've been going through this model of injury, rehab, pain, injury, all this stuff, and it takes the fun out of the game for him, I don't want him on the field. You know what I mean? I respect
Do you
the guy.
Think – well, but hold on. I watched – Nick, I watched a player go into the Hall of Fame and retire as one of the greatest running backs in history by yardage, Curtis Martin, who the day he went into Canton, first eligibility, first crack at it, 5 years after his playing career was over, said, "I never loved football. It was always a job to me. It made me millions of dollars, but it was never something that I like truly like loved with every fiber of my being, but I was good at it. I got paid for it and people were counting on me. They were depending on me." And so it's not fun for Andrew Luck anymore. All right. Not every job is fun. And if he had made this decision because, Nick, this was not an injury. Chris Ballard said it last night. This is not something that happened 6 days ago. Ballard said this calf injury or ankle injury went back to last year. So what happened in between?
I don't think it was just the ankle injury.
Well, then, so what is it?
I think, like you talked about, it was the multitude of constant injuries and going through the process. And for him, I mean, you mentioned the Hall of Famer, but for Luck himself, that is not the road that he wanted to go down. And as a Colts fan, yes, I'm upset and I'm disappointed. I was shocked when I heard it. I was actually in the back of my mind. I was not surprised because of the injuries that it happened. But
see, I have even more sympathy. Well, that's fine. I've got even more sympathy, not for the fans. I've got more sympathy for his teammates or former teammates now in the organization who had built a team around him. And 2 weeks before the start of the season, come to find out he doesn't want to play football anymore. You know, that's different from a catastrophic injury, a torn Achilles tendon, or a torn ACL, and it happens in the preseason, and an injury that literally somebody can't play on forces them away or off the field. His own agent, Andrew Luck's own agent, said less than a month ago that this was a minor injury. He was on the field 2 weeks ago against the Browns, warming up, ready to go. There was an NFL Network reporter, Stacey Dales, was at the game, and she said, it looks like this is precautionary. Luck being held out of practice. He went through reps before the game, and the team is confident he's going to be out there week one against the Chargers. That was last Saturday. 48 hours later, he told the Colts that Monday he was contemplating retirement and was probably ready to walk away from the game. Here's Joe in Indiana. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, man.
I actually blame the management on this thing because it's their job to know the injuries and the extent of the injuries. And Luck to me, you know, he can quit or retire. I get
what you're saying, but like, it did not sound from Colts brass like this was the type of injury that typically forced guys to retire and step away from football.
And I agree with that. I agree. But what I'm saying is Wright told us all year long, or all spring anyway, you know, it's always the calf. It's always the calf. And then 2 weeks ago, Irsay came out and said, well, he's got a bone thing, you know. And when I look at what Aaron Rodgers did with his leg injury and how he played through that, I've lost all respect, basically, for, you know, for Luck. And I feel sorry for the players.
Phillip really Rivers do. Played in an AFC championship game on a torn ACL. I mean, I think there's room for criticism in terms of the timing of Andrew Luck's decision and how it leaves the Colts high and dry in the type of injury that is forcing Luck to retire right now. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If Luck suffers a concussion in the preseason and says, it's my brain, I can't mess with it, I'm done, I've got more sympathy and empathy for that. We're talking about a calf, bone, ankle sprain, whatever it is, and no doctor, you know, a report got leaked during the game when Luck was on the sideline last night. So we've got great reporters like Adam Schefter at ESPN digging around, getting information. And no one can tell you exactly what kind of injury Luck has, when or where he sustained it, when and where he sustained it, the severity of it, like how bad is it? Is this the type of injury that usually requires surgery? Has this forced other players to hang him up. None of that. You can follow me on Twitter. Get more thoughts there. Give me yours at the Pony Express. Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us at CBS Sports Radio. Coming up next, I'll tell you why college football should rebrand itself, should do away with calling itself the Power Five and change it to Power Four.
You're listening to the Pony Express. Here's Andrew Filippone.
That was Mick Huber, Learfield IMG College, the Florida Gators play-by-play man. As Florida, let's face it, let's call it what it is, limped to a victory over Miami last night. That was the feature game or the signature game. The other game on CBS Sports Network was Arizona at Hawaii. Now, I have waited. I'm not going to break down and dissect Arizona-Hawaii, but I wanted most of our West Coast Pacific time zone audience to be awake and alert for this conversation. Because that's the part of the country that screams about East Coast bias, and that's the reason why it's always a SEC player or Big Ten player who wins the Heisman Trophy. Our guys never get it. You know, our games are on too late for them. You're in bed when we play our games, etc. Hawaii beat Arizona last night on a play that looked a little bit like the end of Super Bowl 34, Rams and Titans. Kevin Dyson stopped at the 1 yard line by Mike Jones. Kurt Warner, Dick Vermeil, and company win the Super Bowl. Hawaii, a team that's picked to finish third in its division of the Mountain West, beats Arizona last night. Which really proves to me that because the Pac-12 has history and prestige and they're tied into the Rose Bowl, those are the things that are keeping the Pac-12 aligned with and in the same conversation as the other four major conferences in college football, the Big 12, the Big 10, the SEC, and the ACC. Outside of that, their lineage, their history, the Pac-12 has no right to call itself a power conference. It's a joke. You know your college football product is an embarrassment when you're contemplating gimmicks. And one of the big stories to come out of this summer in college football was the idea that the Pac-12 was going to toy around with and consider playing games at 9 a.m. Pacific time. They were going to ask 18, 19, 20-year-old kids to play a violent collision sport at 9 o'clock in the morning. They've got a network that nobody watches. Nobody gets it. I've never seen the Pac-12 network in my entire life. You have Arizona, which is not, you know, a blue blood college football program. It is, however, a school that you hope when they go play a Mountain West team that isn't Boise State, that Arizona finds a way to win that game. Arizona has a former Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback. And it can't beat a middle-of-the-pack, mediocre Mountain West team. The Pac-12 cries and their fans, you know, cry out for respect, pay attention to us. There's no reason to. They haven't put a team into the college football playoff since Washington got stomped by Alabama in 2016 when Oregon loses to Auburn on Saturday. The Pac-12 will have three teams left in the playoff race. Washington, Stanford, and Utah. In Utah, you have a playoff contender by default. They don't really deserve it. They're a top 20 team. They're a team that's built on defense that plays the game the right way that very rarely beats itself, but they're not a team made up of playmakers. It's not an exciting team. They could very easily go to BYU and lose on Saturday. The Pac-12 South is so bad. UCLA is trying to get off the ground with Chip Kelly in year two. USC should have fired Clay Helton and didn't, coming off a 5-7 season. Arizona State is coached by a 65-year-old cartoon, Herm Edwards. The Pac-12 wants to play games at 9 a.m. Pacific time. They want to do everything they can to force people to watch their games. It is a league made up of 14 teams who maybe, best case scenario, somebody because of a weak schedule puts together a decent resume for the college football playoff. Short of that, if you live east of the Rocky Mountains, I don't know why you'd watch Pac-12 football unless you bet on it, unless you found some kind of money-making angle to it. Stanford, which we've talked about Andrew Luck all day, since Jim Harbaugh left for the NFL, Stanford's been a relatively good program. They're usually ranked, but they haven't been to the college football playoff yet. They're very unlikely to survive September. Stanford, I'll give them credit for this. They actually put together an impressive non-conference schedule, but unfortunately for them, they're not going to be able to manage or get themselves through it. They've got Northwestern to start the season. Their third game is at Central Florida. They'll lose that game. And if you lose to Central Florida, I don't think there's any coming back from that. That's not a loss that at the end of the year, if Stanford's 12-1, they can survive that and get into the playoff. So the conference is a mess. Oregon's the last team to go to the college football playoff and win a game. That was in the first year. That was back in 2014. The last time a Pac-12 team won the national championship was USC, but we know how they did it. They had to cheat their way to it. So it's a completely irrelevant conference. The best team in the last 10 years in the Pac-12 has been Stanford. And they've got a couple of New Year's Day bowl wins to celebrate. When that is your breadwinner, when that's your bell cow team, you know your conference has problems. And it's just more of the same from the Pac-12. When you've got a decent team that goes and plays a Mountain West team to start the season, for conference pride, for conference sake, for that league's, you know, ability to have any credibility, Arizona's got to find a way to win that game last night. It just seems like it's another season for me as somebody on the East Coast that's not going to have to pay attention to West Coast football. And when USC was rocking and rolling, then when Chip Kelly had Oregon scoring 70 points a game, I paid attention. Now I don't. There's no reason. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Bunch of ways you can listen to CBS Sports Radio. You can download the CBS Sports app. Listen to us there. You can download the radio.com app, which gives you access to all kinds of our shows, podcasts, archived interviews. Also gives you a chance to listen to a bunch of our local affiliates, WFAN in New York, WIP in Philadelphia, my station, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Frank is on South Carolina. Is in South Carolina. He wants to talk about Andrew Luck. Hi, Frank. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Andrew. Listen, sure. The whole Luck thing, man, to even bring up the notion of putting him in the Hall of Fame is asinine, in my opinion. And also, and if I was a Colts fan, I would be livid. This is ridiculous. He should have done this in January. But anyway, you had brought up some things about Clemson, and if we get bored.
Right, let me reset, Frank, before you make your point. Let me just reset this for people that are just finding the show. Sure. I said earlier, what is it like to be a college football fan of a team whose regular season is a complete waste of time. And that's Clemson, because they'll be favored in every game and probably win most of their games, if not all their games, by double digits. The real season starts in January with the college football playoff.
Right. Listen, is it our fault the rest of the ACC is garbage? You know,
not blaming you for that.
You know, and I get you. I get it. But, you know, to me, and I live down here, I'm right here in the middle of SEC country as well. I don't think the SEC is all that great anyway. I mean, you know, every conference has got their cupcake teams. Now, look, the West is strong, no doubt. But you look at Alabama, they beat everybody by double digits. You're not asking them, is it boring to watch them kill?
Well, no, because they got to play an Iron Bowl and they've got to play Texas A&M. And I know that's one crossover opponent that Clemson has with Alabama. A&M, Auburn, LSU, Mississippi State on the road. I mean, the two barometer games that we're going to get that'll help us measure up common opponent games for Alabama and Clemson this year are South Carolina and Texas A&M. So those are two games we'll be able to gauge somewhat the disparity between Alabama and Clemson in the way they handle both of those teams. But I think I'm going to give my full college football playoff later in the show. I'll give you a taste of it right now because, you know, this is not going to, you know, send shockwaves and register on the Richter scale. I think Clemson is a lock to make the college football playoff. I think it's a stone-cold lead pipe lock. Even if they lose a game, the committee will put Clemson into the playoff because they will give them an opportunity to defend their championship. And there's zero chance, 0.0, to quote Dean Wormer from Animal House, that Clemson loses two games with that cupcake schedule. Coming up next, how does Andrew Luck's retirement affect the 2019 NFL season? Which fan bases should be the happiest, the saddest, the most upset, the most excited? It's Andrew Filippone, the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.